Hi, I'm Lydia Bastianich, and you're listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Lunch can be pretty uninspiring, especially if it's packed in Tupperware and in a brown paper bag and eaten at your desk at work. But it doesn't have to be that way, and Melissa Clark is here to tell us how to turn last night's leftovers into a delicious midday meal. She's a New York Times dining section columnist and the author of more than 30 cookbooks, the latest of which is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
And we also invite our listeners to join the conversation. If you have a question about what to make for lunch and how to make it, or if you want to share your tips for turning leftovers into lunch, give us a call, 212-433-9692, or you can write to our show on our show page at WNYC.org. Also on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So, Melissa, is lunch a meal that you give a lot of thought to?
Well, I do. I do give a lot of thought to it. And this is something new that has happened to me. I used to be a freelancer and I ate lunch at home. So I had my whole entire kitchen to work from and I'd make myself a really nice little lunch. And now I go into an office several days a week and it's a whole different way of approaching lunch because I either bring it with me or I have to know where to buy it. And I'm thinking about it a lot more than I ever have. And one thing that, there are two things that I've two strategies that I've come up with. The first is pack the leftovers, but you have to be careful with what you pack. I mean, not everything makes a good leftover. I can tell you, potatoes the next day, not so good. They get, you know, no matter what, they get soggy. They're not appetizing. But green salads are amazing. They get even more delicious the next day, like a farro salad or quinoa or brown rice will hold up in the fridge overnight. If you have a microwave at work that you can heat it up, that is a great thing. So you just sort of start to learn what works and what doesn't. And on top of that, I have another strategy. I have a little pantry at my desk. It's a little bit embarrassing, but I actually stock sea salt, flaky sea salt. I have a little pepper grinder, like this little mini pepper grinder. I've got Tabasco sauce and Sriracha because Sriracha is a little sweet and Tabasco is, you know, more acidic. I've got packages of mayo. I've got mustard, which, by the way, does not need to be refrigerated. It'll be fine at your desk. Some Dijon mustard, really strong stuff. I've got balsamic vinegar, good olive oil, honey, which is essential if I ever bring in yogurt, a little thing of grape nuts, which goes on top of my yogurt and my honey, and then the all-essential desk-side thing, chocolate. I could practically just eat my condiments for lunch.
Is anybody else at the Times as well-stocked as you?
Everybody has their own secret stash. You know, we're the food section, so we all get a little crazy. I think I might have the most, but I think Julia Moskin might be right behind me in what she's got.
We have your farro salad recipe on our show page at WNYC.org. One of the biggest problems for me is that in the rush to get out of the house on time, I can't always put something for lunch together. And please don't tell me that I should do it before I go to bed.
Yeah, who can think about that?
There are lots of other things that I have to do, like fill a dishwasher and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why the pantry at work is so essential because I can go to the salad bar down the street. We're lucky at the Times. We actually have a really nice cafeteria. But I can just take the simplest salad from the cafeteria or a simple sandwich or even the hard-boiled eggs, and I bring it down to my little pantry and I can cook from it. It's sort of my cafeteria hack. But even if you don't have a cafeteria and you're just buying, you know, you buy a salad bar or you buy like an uninspired sandwich at the deli, if you have stuff to perk it up, like mayonnaise and Sriracha will rescue any sandwich. You just mix them together on the sandwich and you've got Sriracha mayo, which frankly I could just eat on a piece of toast and it would be lunch. It would be delicious.
Are you one of those people who believes that you have to take the break and eat the lunch, or can you sit at your desk and take telephone calls and answer questions from colleagues while you're munching away?
I usually use my lunchtime to catch up on the different food blogs is what I do. So I'm sitting there eating something that may or may not be good. My farro salad, if I'm lucky, a salad with Sriracha on it, if I'm not so lucky, and I'm looking at, you know, beautiful golden muffins or somebody who made a fabulous golden pork chop last night. So it actually puts a little bit more pressure on me to make myself a really good lunch. By the way, if any of you out there have a pantry at where like a little, if you have like a desk side bottle of Tabasco, let us know. Maybe they could tweet us at, at
or they can write to us on our show page.
Yeah,
give us
let us know, because I would love some other ideas personally. So please send us anything that you guys do out there to make your lunch better. By the way, about leftovers, one thing I find, I don't know if you've ever found this, when you bring leftovers to work the next day, they never taste as good. There's something about, maybe it's the flavor's dull. Maybe it's sitting in the fridge all day. Maybe it's the commute. But I find that everything gets a little, the flavors get muted. They're not as good as dinner. And that is why having even just some flaky sea salt at your desk, or a little bit of balsamic vinegar, or a little bit of olive oil, no matter what it is, especially if it's a salad, you can perk it up. Just sprinkle that stuff on right before you eat it, and it'll make a huge difference in your lunch.
By the way, if you would like to share pictures of your lunch on Instagram, share it with our show, you can tag us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Well, you have a child who's about to go into school, so you're going to have to start thinking about packing lunches for her.
She's in school right now. She's in preschool right now, and I pack her lunch every day. She's a fussy kid. She's a little bit of a picky eater, and so in a way that's sad, but in a way that's actually really good, because she eats the exact same lunch every day, and that is what she wants. And I'm not going to argue with her, because it actually makes my life easier. This is what she gets in her lunch. Every single day, she gets a yogurt with a little bit of jam. She gets a little jar full of blueberries and heavy cream, or blueberries and sour cream or mascarpone, something creamy. She's a dairy kid. Or maybe some carrot sticks or dried apple rings. And then I bake these little muffins that have beets in them, zucchini, and carrot, and I keep them very low sugar. They're pretty healthful. And she gets a little mini muffin with some butter on it, and every day. So I can put her lunch together in 3 minutes flat.
Now, if we're going to use leftovers from dinner, that means we have to plan ahead and cook enough food to have leftovers.
Yes, that is true. I suggest. Right now I'm cooking for we have a family of three, so we usually have something left over, because most recipes are for four or for six. But I always suggest that if you're making something that you think will hold up the next day, roast chicken is fabulous for lunch the next day. You can just take that cold. So if you're roasting one chicken, think about roasting two chickens at the same time. You do them both exactly at the same time. It's not much extra work anyway. And then you can pack yourself lunch. So you can do roast chicken just plain one day. You can slice it up and put it on greens that you can get at your salad bar, nearby your job. Or, of course, there's chicken salad, which naturally guess what I put in there? Mayo and sriracha. It's delicious.
You put sriracha in your chicken salad?
I put sriracha in. I'm a little bit of an addict right now with the sriracha. I'm going to go through, for a while it was lime pickle. I put lime pickle in everything. Now I'm putting sriracha in everything. I have a feeling I'm going to go into like a caper phase next.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Well, let's take a call from Jerry from Highland Falls. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
Yes, it's Gary. I'm very interested in this topic. I have sought for a good strategy for making lunches for myself with what I call a grab-ready strategy. And here's what I have. I have a deep freezer and glass containers, which I fill and freeze with things like a yogurt. So I'll get an assembly line going, and I'll make 18 or so containers of yogurt with different nuts and some fruit attached to it, and freeze it. And then when I want to get ready to go to work, I'll just pull it out, put it in the cold pack. The fact that it's frozen happens to serve as a way to keep everything in the pack cool, and it tends to defrost by about lunchtime.
You know, that is a brilliant idea, and I do that. The muffins that I was talking about for my daughter's lunch, I freeze them, because muffins don't stay fresh very long, and I do the same thing. I pull out a frozen muffin, and I put that in her lunch, and by the time she's ready to eat it, it has defrosted. Same thing with, what's great to do? If you make a big soup or stew, freeze individual containers of that, and then take it out. You're exactly right. Take it out, bring it to work, and by the time you're ready for lunch, it's usually defrosted.
And you can do the same thing with bread, because if you have frozen bread, it's a lot better than making a sandwich and then having that bread get all soggy with whatever is on it. You can make the sandwich fresh as the bread has defrosted.
Yes, actually, that's another good thing. So thank you for your call, because I think stocking your freezer is another way to make lunch really easy for people when it's all at the ready. Thank you so much.
John from Paramus, hi, you're on the air.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm in the car all day, so I'm limited. I can't heat anything up, but I have to make my lunch the night before because of my hours. So what I usually do is take whatever I have from the night before, put it together, and then I add a little thing like balsamic vinegar, and I pack my car with, like, soy sauce or some other kind of condiments, and I wind up using those things to spice it up. Like, I'll even have fish, even like salmon, even have it cold. But if I spice it up enough, it all the greens, usually arugula and whatnot, it's very healthy. I find that very effective.
That is a great idea, and I love that you have it with you driving around. You have your little pantry with the soy sauce. By the way, I'm shocked that I forgot the soy sauce. Thank you. I'm going to add that to my personal pantry tomorrow.
A listener, Carolita, said on our show page, people laugh when I get my mini shaker of cayenne pepper out of my handbag and sprinkle it on my soups or eggs, but I can't live without cayenne pepper. What do you think of cayenne pepper as an alternative to regular table pepper?
Oh, cayenne pepper. I love that she carries it around in her purse. That is brilliant. And it reminds me of my mother. When I was, I think my mother still does this, but when I was growing up, she had those mini bottles of Tabasco in her purse. And all the time. So wherever she was, she always had just a little bit of hot sauce on everything. Thanks, Mom. That was one of the best things I learned from you, is carry your own cayenne if you love it, or the thing that you really love. I actually carry flaky sea salt with me.
Now, when you have leftovers, do you try to change them, or do you just stick it in a Ziploc bag or one of those plastic containers?
I don't usually try to change them, except if I have, say that I have a side dish of brown rice. I was mentioning brown rice holds up really well. I'll take regular brown rice that I might have had for dinner. Say my husband and I had chili. We put it on the brown rice. I'll take that brown rice and turn it into a salad to take the next day. Or sometimes I'll just mix the chili in. But often I don't want to bother going to the microwave. So the brown rice will get tossed with just a simple vinaigrette or just olive oil and lemon. And then I'll take feta cheese is your best friend when it comes to salads at work, because it gets creamy as it sits at room temperature. So I'll put a little bit of feta cheese in, some scallions, some parsley, and then I'll take that to work. And that'll really work. And I'll augment that with just some greens from the salad bar. And that is terrific.
Well, you've talked in the past of not having a microwave, so you're willing to make the adjustment when you go to the New York Times?
They have so many microwaves at the New York. I think they have a microwave on every floor. So there's plenty of places for me to heat up my lunch should I need to do that. And better to put it in the microwave than to eat cold soup. I mean, really.
Tony on the Upper West Side wrote on our show page, my brother does a really good habanero pepper relish, and I mix it in with mayonnaise, and it works great as a tartar sauce and as a sandwich condiment.
Yes. That, you know, mayonnaise is your best friend, because you can get them in the little packages. You can, anytime you go to a deli, I hoard them. They have them at the cafeteria, and I bring
them
down to my
desk. Otherwise, they can go
bad. Yeah, you need the packages, because that won't go bad. You open it as you need it. And if you mix mayo with, I mean, it'll work with mustard. It'll work with any kind of hot sauce. It'll work with, actually, I'm thinking about what that gentleman said about soy sauce. That would probably work really well as well. So if you love mayonnaise, which I do, just hoard those packages. They'll help anything.
My guest is Melissa Clark. She writes a weekly column at the New York Times for the dining section, and also is the author of over 30 cookbooks. The latest one, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. I'm assuming there's another one that's coming out shortly, because you have done so many.
You know, there's not. Right now, I recently went on staff at the Times, and I have two new columns at the Times right now. So I've focused all my energy on those.
Are the new columns?
One of them is, in addition to my Good Appetite column, which is in the paper every week, but online on Mondays or Tuesdays, we're kind of getting the timing down. I'll have two columns, and they alternate. One is called What's for Dinner, and this is a very simple dish, something that I make for dinner for my family that takes, I won't say exactly under 30 minutes, maybe it'll take 35 or 40, but usually they're very, very quick recipes using ingredients that you either have in the house or you can pick up on the way home from work. Extremely simple. And so that's one column. And then the other one is really fun. It's called Restaurant Takeaway. And it's dishes that are inspired by restaurant food. So the most recent one I have is, and this would actually make a great lunch for people, it's from Bill Telepan's restaurant, Telepan, on the Upper West Side. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I had a beet bulgur salad. bulgur, excellent thing to take to work. You can even take bulgur dry. You can leave bulgur at your desk in a tin and then just use the hot water that you have and it'll plump up with your pantry items. But anyway, so for the column, it's beets, a beet vinaigrette mixed into the bulgur instead of the normal, you know, parsley and scallions and tomatoes, the vegetable is beets. It is beautiful. It is flavorful. And it actually packs really well. I did take some to work the next day.
And maybe after this show, you'll also do What's for Lunch.
I should, actually. I should.
Because that's what we're talking about today.
What do you think if I did that? Do you think people would like that, a lunch at your desk column?
Well, considering the kind of response we're getting from listeners calling in and writing to us, I think that there's a real need to discuss these things. We'll be back with more Melissa Clark, right, and your calls and your comments on our show page and what you've written to Facebook and what you've tweeted us right after we take a little break. We're back with Melissa Clark, who now has added two blogs to her weekly column at the New York Times. And, of course, there are all those cookbooks, the most recent Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes That You Can't Wait to Make, published by Hyperion. And you've given us a recipe for lunch?
I have. Oh, so as I was saying, one of my favorite things to take for lunch is a hearty grain salad. And I gave a recipe for a farro salad. And this, first of all, I love farro. Do you love farro? It's so quick to make. It cooks in about 20 minutes. It has a real nutty flavor, and the texture is just marvelous.
You're going to want to listen later because we're going to be talking about grains on our Please Explain segment today and go through the history of human use of grains and which ones really are best for our health. And
oh, yes, I will want to listen to that.
How people have learned to use them going back to the earliest days of maybe even pre-civilization.
I will absolutely be listening. I'm sure everyone listening now will continue to listen because I know they'll be talking about farro, and that is one of my favorites. But any grain, I mean, quinoa works.
Ancient grain.
Yes.
The two most ancient probably are barley, wheat, and quinoa.
And quinoa has the most protein, too, as well. I guess we'll hear about this later, but that's what I've been led to believe. And it's also gluten-free, which is great for people who can't eat something like farro. You can substitute quinoa.
Although something interesting, and I don't want to give away too much about what we're going to be discussing later, we are starting to cultivate the ancient versions of these grains, and they're a lot better for our health than the ones that we have developed over the years. People who have serious celiac problems still can't eat the early wheats, but a lot of people who are on the borderline have no problem with them.
That is fascinating.
We have really messed up all of those things, but
I wrote an article on baking, gluten-free baking, and a lot of the research that I did pointed to the same thing.
Let's take some more calls. James from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say one thing that I like to do. I've got three picky little eaters at home, three kids. The one thing they love is on a Sunday night I'll roast a boneless turkey breast. And I have, a couple different types of marinades or seasonings for it. And they will eat that all week. So they'll slice it into thin slices. They'll cut it into chunks. They'll eat it over rice. And it's like it's like the gift that keeps on giving for, and it's super healthy. And I try to get the best quality turkey breast I can get.
And they don't complain turkey again?
No, they love it. They absolutely love it. In fact, I'll do roast chickens as well. They love roast chicken as well. But the turkey is just so versatile because you can cut it into thin slices or chunks or slice it into slices. My 4-year-old likes to try and he's learning how to cut things himself with like a little kid knife. So he kind of likes it. It's like a big steak.
Oh, that's great. I do the roast chicken also. We do a lot of roast chicken, and my daughter will eat that. She won't eat it for lunch for some reason. It comes back, but she will eat it for dinner. But I haven't done the turkey breast, and that is a great idea, especially my daughter's 4 also, and she's also just learning how to cut things by herself. So good. Thank you for that.
Barbara from New York. Hi, you're on the air. New Jersey, I'm sorry. You're on the air. I moved you, Barbara.
I'm a traveling teacher, so I need to keep my lunch with me in the car. And what I do is bring a wicker basket that's lined with towels, and I've prepared vegetables ahead of time from the big box store, washing them, cutting them, freezing them. And then the evening before or the morning of, I just throw them in a pan with olive oil, salt, and pepper, and they bake in 20 minutes. And I carry quinoa with me, egg, and banana.
That is such a healthful, delicious-sounding lunch. I love the idea of the roasted vegetables, to do them that morning if I have everything ready, and then to get up, do them while I, you know, I'm showering and getting Dolly, my daughter, ready. That's a great,
exactly.
That's a great tip. And Brussels sprouts, I think, would be perfect.
Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and the differently colored sweet peppers.
Oh, yum. Great tip.
Thank you. If you had a microwave, of course, you could. Broccoli is really easy to prepare in 3 minutes. You just put it in a bowl with some butter, a little salt and pepper, a little bit of water, and microwave it for 3 minutes. And it tastes great for the next 5 hours or so.
That's true. But then I'd need a microwave. I could do it in the oven and get it
microwaving
crispy.
Is the equivalent of steaming.
Right.
So that's true. It's really steamed broccoli.
But I love roasted broccoli because I love the crunch. You know, the crunchy little florets, those tips that get crunchy? That's what I love.
A lot of listeners have been writing in. Rachel is asking you, or Rachel wrote us on Facebook, if you could also post a recipe for the muffins that you put into your daughter's lunch sometime.
Oh, that's a great idea. You know what? I will. Those muffins are one of those recipes I just throw together and I don't really measure, but I will measure it and write it out because I think you're right. I think it'd be helpful for people. I use whole wheat flour too.
And once we get that, we'll put it on our Facebook page.
Cherry
has written us on Twitter asking if we could define sriracha.
Oh, good point.
And you can make your own.
You
can't
can.
You?
Yeah. Sriracha, it's just a type of hot sauce. What is different about sriracha than other types of hot sauce is that it's ketchup-based. Basically, it has a little bit of tomato and a little bit of sugar in it. So it's got a very spicy but also slightly sweet and very thick texture. So I like it. It's just a different flavor than, say, Tabasco, which
and,
I also
and
love.
And where's it from?
I'm pretty sure.
SR is always a weird spelling.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm not sure if it's Thai or Vietnamese. I know it's Southeast Asian. Anybody who knows that, please call in and let us know because that's a great question. But I think that the one that I use, I think, is made in California.
Of course.
Yes.
My guest is Melissa Clark. We're talking about packing lunch for ourselves, for our kids, for our loved ones. And if you want to join the conversation, our number here is 212-433-9692. You can also write us on our show page at WNYC.org, on our Facebook page. You can tweet us at Leonard. The handle is at Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. And yes, I am Leonard Lopate. And let's take another call. This one is from Parisa. Is that your name, Parisa?
Yes.
Manhattan.
Hi, Leonard. Yes. I love your show. Thanks for taking my call. Sriracha is actually from Eastern Thailand in the Chonburi province. Actually.
Eastern Thailand.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for telling us.
Yes. No, of course. I also have just, I'm sorry. You were talking that you look over your food blogs over lunchtime, and I actually have a recommendation for a blog on a side note. It's called One Loud Lemon, written by a good friend of mine who's an occupational therapist, if you want to take a look. But my question actually is kind of a follow-up on a couple of other calls that came in regarding what to do when you're a field-based worker. So I work in the field all over the state of New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and besides stopping at Starbucks and Panera's, if I get lucky, it's very hard for me to find places to get good, healthy food on the road. And I'm looking for any tips you might have for being smart about planning kind of my day the night before or that morning before I leave.
I think that having a little pantry in your car, do you keep anything in your car like soy sauce or hot sauce or olive oil or lemon? I think that's a really good idea because then you can even if you just say stop.
Keep it in the glove compartment?
I don't. Well, that's the gentleman who called in. I'm not sure we should have asked him, but yeah, I probably would just take a little box and put it under the back seat. You know, like a little shoebox filled up with all the things that I would want. And then even if you're stuck and say you just have to get a bad deli sandwich or a bad, you know, it's good. You can a lot of. You know, instead of stopping at a deli when you're on the road, stop at a supermarket. And then you can just even pick up a thing full of washed baby spinach or washed arugula and a little thing of cheese. And then if you have your pantry, you know, your your pantry, it's just olive oil and salt, you can make lunch out of that. And I think that's probably better than stopping, say, at a fast food restaurant.
Well, thank you for calling us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Now, another listener says, actually, Sriracha comes from a Thai man who lives in California. And we have a caller from California who claims, no, it comes from Vietnam. Andrew from Hello? Santa Monica.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Okay.
There are actually two different types of Sriracha. One does come from Thailand, but the spicier one is actually from Vietnam, and it is also tomato-based. Sometimes people mistake it being like a garlic paste or a garlic sauce, but it's, no, definitely not.
Wow. Okay. I love asking your listeners because they know the answers to all that. They're giving us many answers,
well, only,
which is great.
Only people in California seem to know the answers to the.
People in California seem to know
a lot. You're listening to us
in
Santa Monica, Andrew?
Funny you should say that. But now, I will say, being closer to those countries, just geographically, we do have a lot more offered to us in California than ever I've seen, even in Chinatown in New York City.
That is probably
true.
There
is no little Vietnam, and in California, we have tons of little Vietnams everywhere.
Yeah.
And you also know more about Mexican food than we do. California.
Actually, we do have a little Vietnam. It's a satellite of Chinatown.
That's true. If you go Bayard Street, right? Or is
yes.
it Baxter?
No, Mulberry.
Mulberry, okay.
Mostly. Thank you so much for your call. Sarah from Lincoln Center left a comment saying, I work in an environment where everyone takes lunch at the same time and we all eat together at a large work table. Among us, we have stashes of salt, pepper, olive oil, balsamic, hot sauce, and even a block of Asiago with a mini grater.
Oh,
fresh
brilliant.
Grated cheese perks up almost any microwave leftover. What about eating with coworkers? Do you think most offices prioritize the social aspect of lunch?
You know, I don't know. I've only worked in one office lately, so it's hard to tell. And at the times, we're all on such different schedules. And plus, going out to lunch is actually part of our job, so it would be hard to gather everyone. But every once in a while, instead of sitting at my desk by myself, I'll go with a coworker into one of the little conference rooms, if it's empty, and we'll sit and talk and eat lunch together and just take a break from everything. And that, I really think, if you're sitting and having a conversation that doesn't have to do with work and you're eating something that's pretty good, it's so much of a better lunchtime experience. So I try to do that whenever I can nab someone.
Let's take another call. Darich, is it? Stony Brook?
Hi.
Hi, how
Hi,
are
this
you?
This is Daria.
Daria.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Why, thank you. So I wanted to share two things, and you can ask me about either. One is 2 days a week I commute on the train to the city for almost 2 hours, and I literally pack breakfast, lunch, and dinner quite happily. And eat all three meals on the road. And the other is I'm the queen of cooking in our office, things like poaching eggs in the microwave or making a quesadilla with the leftovers so they don't feel like the same meal I've had before.
Quesadillas. Do you do them in the microwave at work? Is that where you
So I just bring some tortillas and some cheese and then bring leftover roasted vegetables or leftover fish or chicken, anything.
That's brilliant.
The other thing I do at dinner is when I'm serving food, I portion out a Tupperware container of what's going to be the leftovers to go right then and there. So we put on everybody's plate and pack a Tupperware all at the same time.
That makes sense. You know you always have food to eat for the next day. I think I love the idea of the quesadillas. The eggs I've never had success with. I've tried the microwave egg, and it's either overdone or underdone. I can't quite get that. The timing right. But the quesadillas is really smart. You could bring whole wheat tortillas in if you wanted to have a little fiber. The cheese, if you had Asiago like they do at Lincoln Center, that would be great. Or just whatever kind of grated cheese. And even, again, I'm obsessed with the salad bar. So you could even go to the salad bar, get some chopped avocado, some tomatoes, maybe some onion that they have there, and that would work. Great.
We have a listener who has a suggestion on cooking eggs. Taylor from Wilton, Connecticut. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, what do you do?
Yeah, in the morning I'd have to commute in on the train, and I would take however long it takes to boil water in a pot, and then just put it in a thermos and put the raw eggs in there and close it up, and by the time I'm off the train, the eggs are cooked and ready to go. You bring a little salt and pepper, and then you're set.
Oh, wait, in the shell. Or you crack them.
Yeah, in the shell.
Oh, correct. In the shell.
Oh. So you're making hard-boiled eggs.
You know, the residual heat. You don't need to keep heating everything.
Yes.
There's plenty of heat in there, and it cooks the eggs just fine.
That is another brilliant tip. I wonder if that would work in one of those to-go coffee cups.
I'm sure it would.
It depends on how well it's insulated.
Right.
Those.
And it probably also depends on how big the egg is.
Yes, and how much water you
don't
have.
Don't do a jumbo.
You know, I have a fairly big thermos. Yeah, exactly.
I might have to get a thermos just for that, because that is a great tip. You could do that at work with the kettle. You know, you just gave me an idea. It's true, because I boil eggs by bringing the egg up to a boil and then turning off the heat. So I wonder if I could do that with the boiling water in the kettle at work.
How hard the eggs will get if they've been sitting in that hot water for an hour or so, a couple hours.
How hard do they get?
It depends how much water you have. You know, all the proteins in the egg will denature, you know, cook, in other words. If you have your water held at least to 160, the eggs need to reach that temperature in order to be hard-boiled. I like mine fairly soft, but it's not wet.
Just kind of tender.
You're not going to get it to the point where the yolk is crumbly.
Right, which is better anyway, to have a nice soft yolk.
We'll like it that way anyway.
I'm sure there are people out there, but...
Yeah, there are.
Thank you so much for calling us. We can slip one more call in. Jorge from Brooklyn, how are you on the air?
Hi, this is Jorge from Rockland County.
Okay, well, that's close enough. It's somewhere in the metropolitan area.
Anyway, I'm calling in regards of... I noticed I used to bring plastic containers to work, and I started noticing that in the microwave, it will change the flavor of the food. Will you recommend anything? And then I start using glassware, and I noticed it improved a lot.
Yes.
Do you recommend any, perhaps, glass instead of plastic on the storing?
You know, this is such a good point. I'm so glad you brought this up, because one thing I said, that I packed up soups in plastic containers. I have a bowl at work. So when I get to work, I empty, you know, it's a ceramic bowl, and I empty the contents of the plastic container into the ceramic bowl. Aside from flavor reasons, which is a good enough reason to do it, also health concerns about microwaving and plastic. So always transfer into a glass or inert bowl. Or, yeah, I mean, there are these great glass containers. I think they're called Snapware. And those are really good. They have plastic covers, but you just take the cover off before you put it in the microwave.
And we did a segment not so long ago with an expert who said you should probably not heat up anything in plastic, because there's always going to be something that is going to wind up being extruded from the plastic and into your food.
Yeah, good rule in general. I never do it, and I don't think anyone should.
The big problem is all of these things require real space at your desk or in your office, and not everyone has that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. I'm lucky. Now, I have under my desk. There's nothing under there except food things, so I'm lucky to have that little spot.
We have a listener, Omer, who suggests on Twitter that we teach a cooking class together, but you'd be doing all the teaching.
But you could do the schmoozing. We'd be such a good team. I love it.
Melissa Clark writes a weekly column for the New York Times and now blogs as well at the Times. Her latest cookbook is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's from Hyperion. And you can check out her lunchtime suggestion on our show page at WNYC.org. We'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thank you.